The Gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to their own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to the highest, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Remaining standing, let's pray. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place with your presence on this holy day. Prepare our hearts for your coming to us, so that through the written word and the spoken word, we might meet the living word, Jesus Christ, and give him all the glory. Amen. Please be seated. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Thus begins the tale. The tale of how on a dark and calm night many years ago, a woman went into labor and gave birth to a baby boy. How this woman wrapped him in strips of cloth, as was the custom of the day, and laid him gently in a feeding trough, a handy, ready-made crib for the child. It's the tale of shepherds watching their sheep when they were suddenly terrified by the appearance of a messenger from God shining in splendor. A messenger who told them not to be afraid, because he was actually there to bring them good news. Good news not just for them, but for everyone. A baby had been born to them. And this baby was none other than the long-awaited Messiah, their Savior. And then the shepherds were given instructions on how to find the baby, and overwhelmed even further by a whole multitude of angels showing up, singing praises to God. It's a familiar tale, probably very familiar to many of you here, and perhaps you could even recite it by heart as we heard it just read for us. But did you realize, when you were listening to the readings this morning, that we actually heard two nativity stories back to back? Or rather, two tellings of the same story. But wait, you may say, the last reading was about a goddess-like woman and a crazy dragon in the sky, and who ever heard of a dragon in a nativity pageant? I tried this year to get a dragon into the nativity pageant, and they wouldn't have anything of it. And yes, it is absolutely a much wilder and stranger version. But it's still a nativity scene that we find here, unexpectedly, in the 12th chapter of the last book of the Bible. Throughout the past month in our Advent sermon series, we've been preaching through the book of Revelation, that most alarming and controversial and strange of all the books of the Bible, and showing how all of it points to Jesus, how it is in fact the ultimate encouragement for all those who might be facing hard times. And here on Christmas Day, we have Revelation 12, the least known nativity story of all time. And for those who are visiting today or who haven't been following along in our Advent sermon series, I'll give you a quick overview of the book of Revelation, the book that this scene finds itself in. Revelation is a letter written by the Apostle John to seven of the early churches in Asia Minor in about 96 AD. John was at that time exiled by the Roman Emperor Domitian to the penal colony on the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. He had refused to bow down to the emperor. And Christians everywhere were undergoing persecution as their faith began colliding with and threatening the practices of the cultures around them. Into this difficult time, John is given a series of visions to encourage the churches, visions that we now know as the Book of Revelation. And all of the visions, in one way or another, point to a glorious truth. And it's the same truth that we see here in the beloved nativity story in Luke, that a child has been born, and not just any child, but a Savior, a Messiah, Christ the Lord. This comes to a crux in the very middle of the book of Revelation with this dramatic scene that we just heard. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars around her head. She's giving birth to a child. And a fearsome red serpent or a dragon is waiting in front of the woman to destroy the child as soon as he's born. And it seems like there can be no escape from this powerful beast. How can an exhausted mother and a newborn child escape a dragon? All creation waits with bated breath as she gives birth to a male child. But the child is safely snatched away to God's throne. And the dragon goes off to prey against the woman and the rest of her offspring. It is a very strange story to have on Christmas Day. But perhaps it is the right thing for this year, as the world feels like it's under increasing stress in all kinds of ways. Climate change, politics, unprecedented levels of anxiety and mental health challenges, unprecedented numbers of global refugees. Close to home, the high cost of living and the housing crisis. And many, many other pressures that may be weighing on us this morning. Maybe what we need is a grander view of what's going on that Revelation provides. Because this narrative of the Christmas story is like looking through the reverse end of a telescope and being able to see the whole picture at once, a picture that is one ultimately of deep encouragement. So we're going to unpack it a little bit, and then we'll bring it back to the more familiar and what all of this has to do with us on Christmas Day. Revelation 12:1, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman. The woman is a sign. This isn't a literal depiction of something that happens, but a symbolic telling of a bigger reality. In this sign, we see Mary, of course, in this woman, the mother of Jesus, giving birth to her son, a son who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Yes, but we also see Israel. Israel, who have been waiting and groaning for a Messiah for so long, yearning in agony to be released from the oppression of Rome. And finally, the Messiah is born to them. And we see Eve, who back at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 was promised that her offspring would be the one to overcome the dragon, the great serpent who deceived her. All of these and more are represented by this glorious woman giving birth at long last to the Messiah. And none of them are any less true than the other. All of them show something true of what this child means to the world. And then there's the dragon, the red dragon, the serpent with 7 heads and 10 horns. And we're told that this dragon also is a sign for that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. I don't know what you believe about Satan these days. In the West, we tend to be very wary of talking as if he were real. But the truth of the matter is that evil exists. And sin and death are real. And there is a force working against the good of humanity and against God. Not an equal force. This is not an equal battle of good versus evil. God is God. And there is no question who ultimately wins this battle. But the force is mighty nonetheless. As one well-known hymn puts it, he is our ancient foe who seeks to do us woe. The hymn continues, his craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. This force, this dragon, this serpent, since he first tempted humans to turn away from God and put their trust in themselves, or in things, or in anything other than God, has been wreaking havoc on our world. Disease and death, broken relationships, unjust institutions, corporate greed, addictions to pornography and alcoholism, drug use, social media and shopping, anything that turns us away from God and away from each other, anything that turns us inward. The dragon seeks to devour us however he can. And if you've ever tried fighting these dragons on your own, you know that it's a losing battle. But there is hope. 200 years after the Apostle John, exiled in Patmos, recorded this vision, another man faced the wrath of the Roman Empire for his Christian beliefs. A man named George was born in about 275 AD to a Christian family in Palestine under the Roman Empire. And when George was 17, he was orphaned, and so he enlisted in the Roman army. And despite his youth, he rose very quickly in the ranks. By his mid-20s, he was promoted to a high-ranking officer. And that's when things began to go wrong. On February 24th, 303 AD, the Emperor Diocletian issued a law ordering that all Christian soldiers in his army would have to sacrifice to Roman gods. George refused. And the Emperor, not wanting to lose one of his best officers, offered him all sorts of gifts and bribes, trying to convince him to renounce Christianity. And George held steadfast and refused. And he paid for it. He was tortured and executed by decapitation on April 23rd, 303 AD. His body was returned to his hometown of Lydda, and his brave example inspired the conversion of many. Christians began venerating him as a martyr. The stories and legends around George grew, until one story grew in fame beyond all the others. There was once a city by the name of Cyllene, which depended on a spring of water as its drinking source, its only source of water. And one day a dragon decided to make its home, its nest, at this spring of water, which posed a problem for the citizens because they couldn't go get water. So each day they would make a sacrifice to this dragon. so that he would allow them to get near the spring. And at first they offered sheep, but eventually the sheep ran out. And so then they started offering children, choosing them by lottery. And then the children began running out, and at last the princess herself was chosen. And at the last minute, our hero, George, rode up. He marked himself with the sign of the cross, slew the dragon, and rescued the princess. And the citizens immediately rejected their pagan religion, converted to Christianity on the spot, and icons of St. George the Martyr slaying the dragon have been popular ever since. The story of St. George. It's a fun story, but it also has a point, or rather two. The first is this. The townspeople tried to placate the dragon by feeding it. And it only kept taking more and more and more from them. And isn't that the truth? We know that if we try and placate those dragons in our lives, whatever they may be, fears or addictions, anything that turns us away from God, it only leads to more and more and more destruction. But if feeding them isn't the answer, what is? And for that, here's the second point. Because the real dragon that St. George faced and overcame wasn't the dragon by that spring. It was the might of Rome trying to get him to renounce his faith. And some might say that dragon defeated him because, yes, he lost his life. But if we look at our telescopic view from Revelation, our zoomed out view of the nativity scene, it shows us that for George, this wasn't a defeat. Not at all. The final two verses in our message from Revelation today show us the bigger picture, the one that we don't get here on earth. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brothers has been thrown down." And how did they conquer him? They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and because they did not love their lives to death. They conquered that ancient foe, the ancient serpent, not by giving in to him, not by feeding him. Because they knew that death was not defeat. The real defeat of the dragon had already happened, and death held no fear for them. Death was not a defeat, but a victory. You might well ask what all of this has to do with Christmas. Let's get back to the manger and the angels and the shepherds and the familiar. And I'm happy to. Because the mystery of the Christian faith and the Christian story is that our dragon slayer, the one who conquered the dragon on our behalf, is none other than that baby in the manger. Because that baby is a real person who was born at a real time in a real place to a real woman. This is no myth. This is no legend. This is the child who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. This is the child who will defeat the dragon in the most counterintuitive way possible, by allowing himself to be killed on the cross, and in doing so, destroying the power of sin and death forever. Being at church this morning may simply have seemed like a nice momentary distraction or opiate from the pains of the world. Something comforting to do on Christmas Day, but hardly a solution to the real problems out there. But that's exactly the point of Revelation and Luke. The solution to the real problems, all of them, is found in that manger. The hymn I quoted earlier was written by Martin Luther, the great theologian. And here's his word to us this morning. "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness, grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That little word is the word made flesh, Jesus Christ. If you're interested in overcoming the dragons of your life, all the fears and all the afflictions, if you're interested in finding a joy and a peace that goes beyond the momentary, the answer and your personal dragon slayer is this baby in this manger. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.